Turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter number 22. The book of Luke, chapter 22. And when you found your place there, I want you to stick a finger in it and then also find a place in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And when you found that, put your finger there and go back to Luke 22, because that's where we're going to start at. And we're going to read a couple verses in Luke 22. And then we'll read a couple verses in 1 Corinthians 11 and then draw a simple thought, just, I guess if you'll give me 5 minutes maybe. But you know, the Lord Jesus said that if a man asks you to go with him a mile, go with him two. So that means if I ask you for five, you've got to give me 10. And so we'll just see how it goes. But if you're in Luke chapter 22, if you'll stand up and we'll read a couple verses. And this will move us right on into the communion service. And I want us to have communion. And I'm looking forward to that. But let me give you a thought out of these scriptures, okay? Let me turn my mic on. That might help a little bit. Luke chapter 22 and verse number 13. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. You know where we're at in this passage of Scripture. We're now just hours before the crucifixion. The time for Passover is approaching, and Jesus knows that he will not make it that long. And so he commands his disciples to go and find a man and ask him for an upper room where he can take the Passover with his disciples. And that's where we're at in verse 13. And when the hour was come, verse 14, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. If you're in Luke or 1 Corinthians 11, look at verse number 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night which he was betrayed, took bread. We just read that. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Father, help us for just a moment, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. The closing of an old year and the beginning of a new year is a good time to do many things. Many of us look at a new year with joy and excitement. We, at this time of the year, we make resolutions and we make goals for the coming year. We plan things we want to accomplish. We decide things we want to do better. And we even make some decisions about things that we're going to stop doing. But the coming new year also means the closing of an old year. Therefore, it is a good time to sit back and reflect on the year that you've just come through. We look back on the good times and we look back on the bad times. We think of things that we've done and things that we've accomplished. And sometimes we remember areas that we failed. But nonetheless, we look over our shoulder and we begin to remember. I did a Google search of the things that took place in 2017. You know, it's hard to remember 365 days, but there are several things that we remember as markers in 2017. In 2017, we inaugurated the 45th president of the United States, Donald Trump. For good or bad, he was made the president. And as a result, we've seen employment rise and the stock market rise. And those things have certainly stood out in 2017. I thought about Hurricane Harvey and Hurricane Emma, those took place in 2017. I thought about the fact that the Las Vegas shooting took place in 2017. But some good things happened. In 2017, the President of the United States declared Jerusalem to be the capital of Israel, and I applaud him for that. That was a monumental, history-changing thing. Some other big things happened in 2017. I lost 32 pounds in 2000. I was pausing for applause. I guess that's not coming. But I thought about Prince Harry got engaged in 2017, if you care about that. But tonight we're going to do some remembering. Tonight we remember something that not only shaped a year, but it shaped the history of mankind. Because tonight we remember the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did on Calvary nearly 2,000 years ago. Amen. Just hours before His crucifixion, the Lord goes with His 12 disciples into an upper room and there He eats the Passover. He does it one last time. I don't think that these men realized it at the time, but these 12 disciples were taking Passover with the man who would be the fulfillment of the Passover. They ate the Passover lamb with the Passover lamb. During that Passover, Jesus did something that He commanded them to do, something that He commanded them to repeat from that time forward, something that we still repeat even tonight. Jesus gave them what we would later call the Lord's Supper. Here in just a moment, we'll close out the new year by taking the Lord's Supper ourselves. But before we do so, there are three things that I want to draw your attention to. If this, December 31st, 2017, the last day of this year, is a time to remember, then there are three things that I want you to remember tonight. They're all three found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Number one, I want you to remember the price that Jesus paid. I want you to remember, number one, the price that our Lord paid. For Paul says in verse 24 and 25, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me." And then in verse 25, "This is the cup of the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of Me." You can see in both the book of Luke and the book of 1 Corinthians, when Jesus broke the bread and when He passed the cup, He did so with this commandment, "This do in remembrance of Me." You see, the Lord was telling His disciples that what they were doing, they were supposed to remember. Not just remember the supper, but remember what the supper's purpose was. It was the death, the broken body, the shed blood of Jesus Christ. In my mind's eye, I can picture as the Lord takes that thin piece of bread, that wafer-like cracker, that unleavened bread, and He holds it up in front of those men. And He breaks it, and as it cracks and it crunches in His hands, He says to His disciples, "This is a picture of what is about to happen to My body." And He was exactly right. For in just a few hours, He would fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah. When Isaiah said in chapter 53, verse 4, "Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed." He said, "Men, in an hour, in a few hours, My body will be broken for you." And it certainly was. And then He holds that fruit of the vine, He holds that juice in His hands, and He looks at that juice, and it is a picture, it is a reminder. And He says to them, "Men, this is a picture of the blood that I will soon shed." The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 through 14, he said, "But Christ became an high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh,
how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. I believe as Christ held that cup of juice in his hand, his mind raced forward to a few days later when he would march into the holy place that is in heaven. And he would walk up to that mercy seat and he would have that basin the high priest carried with the sacrifice's blood inside of it. But he knew it would not be the blood of a bull and it would not be the blood of a goat, but it would be his own blood. And he would take his own blood and offer his own blood on the mercy seat in heaven so he could cleanse your conscience and make you clean. You see, the death of Christ was not just a brutal killing at the hands of the Romans. The death of Christ had eternal consequences. Through the pain and punishment of Christ, the sin debt of mankind was paid, and God was satisfied. For the same prophet that would prophesy about his stripes and his grief and his woundings would say in verse 11, he shall see, God shall see the travail of his soul, Christ, and shall be satisfied. Remember, friend, in just a moment as you take these wafers and as you take this cup, remember the suffering Savior. Remember that it was for you that he died. Not just the sins of the world, but your sins. This supper is a reminder that Christ loved you, that Christ forgave you, that Christ saved you. I want you to remember, number one, the price. I want you to remember, number two, the promise. Look at verse number 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. While in that upper room, Jesus reveals something to his disciples that it is clear they did not understand. He tells them in Luke 22, the next time that we eat together, it will not be in this world, but it'll be in my Father's kingdom. And then in just a few moments, he stands before them, and it's not recorded in Luke, but it's recorded in John chapter 14, and he says this, let not your heart be troubled. He just told them he would be broken. He just told them he would shed his blood. But let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. No wonder the Apostle Paul said in verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. You know why? Because what we do here is not only a reminder of his death, but it is a reminder that he's coming again. You see, we have been given a promise, and the promise is that God has gone to prepare for us a place, and when that place is completed, he will come again. The supper is more than a look into the past. It is a look into the future. And with joy in our hearts, we can take this supper and we can look forward to the day when we sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb and we take bread with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want you to remember a price that was paid. I want you to remember a promise that was made. Last of all, I want you to remember a pledge. Paul says in verse 28, let a man examine himself. So let him eat that bread and drink of that cup. He that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Not only are we to remember the Lord is going to return, we must remember our commitment to live for him until he does return. So many have forgotten their commitment to Jesus Christ. But soon the Lord will return. But until he does, you and I have an obligation to live for Him. According to these verses, there's some self-judgment involved in this supper. If we would judge ourselves, we would not have to be judged. May I make a suggestion to you, friend? It would be better for you to judge you and get the ugly out of you than for Him to have to judge you and get it out of you. It's going to hurt a lot more if He has to do it. As we take this supper, there are some things we need to look into ourselves and see. There may be some things we need to remove. There may be some things we need to add. But you see, what we're about to do is not only a reminder of the price that was paid, the past, the promise that was made, the future, but it's a reminder. It's a reminder of the pledge that you made the day you named the name of Christ. You see, if you're a Christian, you've made a commitment. If you're a member of this church, you've made a commitment. We remember our pledge. Here's what I think I'd like to do. We're going to take this supper in just a moment, but before we do, I want to give us a moment of prayer. And I'm going to close out the service in prayer. I think that's the way we ought to close out the service. But I'm going to give us a moment of prayer right now. And I want as many men, women, children that would like to come in this altar. And you may want to pray and you may want to thank God for what He's done for you. Thank Him for that body. Thank Him for that blood. You may want to come do some self-examination. I preached this morning on crossing over. And I believe it's time to cross over. I believe some people this morning walked up to the bank of Kadesh Barnea and turned around and walked back into the wilderness. I believe that. But I believe God's brought us to a place of self-examination again tonight. And it may be that some folk just want to come and say, "Search me, O God. Know my heart. See if there's any wicked ways in me. And get some things cleaned up. Renew that pledge that you've got with God." So while we wait for just a moment, if you want to come pray, I want to encourage you to do that before we take this Lord's Supper.